2016 marks Between the Lines' 25th year on the air. As we celebrate our all-volunteer independent media project's anniversary, please consider subscribing to our podcasts and supporting our work. Visit our website at btlonline.org, that's btlonline.org, for details on how to subscribe and make a contribution.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders' upset win in Michigan's March 8th primary defied polls that predicted that he would lose to Hillary Clinton by 18 to 20 points. 538.com polling expert Nate Silver said Sanders' surprise win was among the greatest polling errors in primary history. With the steep loss of good-paying manufacturing jobs across America's industrial heartland in recent decades, Sanders' long history of opposition to free trade deals, such as the North American Free Trade Agreement, resonated with many Democratic voters. Although Clinton recently came out in opposition to the proposed 12-nation Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement, or TPP, currently before Congress, the former Secretary of State had supported the deal in remarks made in 2012, where she said the TPP sets the gold standard in trade agreements. In contrast, Bernie Sanders has consistently expressed the view that American workers should not be forced to compete against people in low-wage countries such as China, Vietnam, and Mexico. While the Democratic Party has long been divided on free trade issues, the majority of Republican politicians have reliably supported free trade deals. That's why President Obama, who is pushing for passage of the TPP agreement, is depending on GOP votes to win the day. Donald Trump's opposition to free trade is another reason the billionaire real estate developer has attracted new voters to his campaign, defying Republican orthodoxy and angering the party's establishment. Your reporter spoke with Melinda St. Louis, International Campaigns Director with Public Citizens Global Trade Watch, who examines the growing public opposition to free trade deals, which is now challenging the long-standing bipartisan elite consensus in support of free trade.
NAFTA, which was signed and came into force in 1994, we now have more than 20 years of experience of this experiment, which was to create a trade agreement, so-called trade agreement, but to stuff it full of all these basically incentives for offshoring of U.S. jobs in the name of free trade. And what has happened is really a decimation of the U.S. manufacturing base. In the era of NAFTA and other free trade agreements, one in four manufacturing jobs in the United States has been offshored, and that's 5 million jobs. That doesn't only affect the people who specifically lost their job when their plant closed and it shipped off to Mexico or even to China, but it's actually created a downward pressure on all wages because it's undermined the ability of organized labor to bargain collectively when there's a threat that a factory will leave. The service sector jobs that many people had to take after they lost these good manufacturing jobs, higher paying manufacturing jobs, took pay cuts without benefits. And, you know, I think people in the heartland and all over really are feeling how what economists now agree that our U.S. trade policy has been a major contributing factor to the rise in income inequality in the United States. And while elites continue to push, and on both parties, you know, elites in both parties have pushed this model of corporate-dominated trade rules branded as free trade, the people, you know, have been really hurt and have a strong sense that this is wrong-headed and that we need a change in this policy that has been basically part and parcel of the elite consensus pushing through these trade agreements negotiated in secret, behind closed doors, without public participation, and with, you know, undue influence of corporations that then are the ones, you know, the elite benefit while people are losing their jobs and they're losing buying power, et cetera. And, you know, people are hurting, and I think that's what we're seeing now in the context of the election.
In speaking about free trade, as you've mentioned, There's an elite consensus in Washington, D.C. that supports free trade, and you've got politicians of both parties supporting these free trade deals. What could you say about that elite consensus, and who are the primary beneficiaries of free trade when it comes to politicians, but maybe more importantly, the corporate elite that sponsor these politicians?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's one more example of, unfortunately, the state of our, you know, of our democratic system, where there is so much corporate money is flowing into Washington. So it's the big pharmaceutical companies, it's the Wall Street firms that were able to sneak in rules in the TPP that undermine our ability to re-regulate after the crisis. And you see the drug companies expanding their monopolies, obviously the opposite of free trade. You see Hollywood trying to limit internet freedom in the name of copyright. And you see tobacco companies trying to increase their tobacco trade, et cetera. And so those are the beneficiaries of this elite consensus, unfortunately, at the expense of the rest of us.
We see the success of Bernie Sanders against Hillary Clinton and his staunch opposition of free trade deals. We also see a kind of ugly populism on the part of Donald Trump and his opposition to free trade, despite the fact that the Republican Party has long stood in support of free trade. Are you optimistic that we will soon see a crumbling of the elite consensus that supports free trade deals?
Well, I certainly hope so, and I think there are signs that it's happening. I mean, I think that there is an unprecedented coalition and campaign that is opposing the TPP. I mean, we've been doing this work for years, and we haven't seen this level of unity in terms of every trade union, the environmental organizations, consumer groups, faith groups, women's groups, LGBT groups, senior organizations that are really paying attention to this and are saying no. So I think that that's quite hopeful, you know, and I think that it's some of the commentary that we've been seeing in the last few days. I think some of the economists are getting really worried that this elite consensus, there are some cracks there. In some ways, I think the level of opposition to this by some of the top candidates. Before, I think there was lip service paid because, again, they look at the polling and they know people don't like this. But I think we actually have candidates now who are serious about not supporting this. And the fact that that is resonating so much with the electorate, I think, you know, is a good sign. I think it's going to take a lot of work because there's a lot of money, as I mentioned, behind pushing this agenda. And so we can't let up as movements to make sure that we're educating people about this and holding our members of Congress feet to the fire and really demanding that they stand with their constituents on this.
That was Melinda St. Louis, International Campaigns Director with Public Citizens Global Trade Watch. For more analysis and commentary on growing public opposition to free trade policies, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.